How many negatives are in that last line? Can you count them? Five. It's five. And that's that actually comes from the verse that we'll be looking at, which, although hidden in our translation, is all there in the Greek. So I'd like to present to you this thought, I am with you. Now, the first thought is that this is God's pledge to us. And while that's true, the psalm that I'm taking it from is Psalm 73. And this is a wonderful psalm, well worthy of our memorizing, but at least meditating on. But starting with verse 22, Asaph here says, so foolish was I, as he looks back. Ignorant, meaning I knew not. I was as a beast before thee or with thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. So who's speaking here? The psalmist is, you see. The psalmist says, I drifted, but I am continually with thee. And then he kind of explains why. He felt like he was lost, but he actually wasn't. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. You do that with your little children? Did you do that with your little children? Whichever hand it was, you held them on. So they could look around, be amazed at everything in the world, and didn't get lost. The psalmist says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth. That's built into the system, isn't it? But God is the strength, literally the rock of my heart, and my portion forever. What a beautiful passage. So this is the pledge. I put it up here again to remind you of what it's saying. But this is the pledge of a repentant believer who came to himself and found that he was drifting from real trust in his Lord. And he cites the reason for his steadfastness as God continually holding his hand. How about that? So it is as though he cried to God, I am continually with you because you stay continually with me. And this is a great satisfaction. There are other verses that deal with this. One is Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. Notice his, not just his actions, but his attitude. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest, be silent in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I've tried to imagine what that would sound like. Is that a profound bass voice? Something that moves like earthquakes? but singing over us in joy. This is God's attitude toward us. And in the middle of problems, he's still there. And he's rejoicing in us. But now the verse that I sang the song to emphasize is Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation, this means manner of life, be without covetousness. What's covetousness? Wanting more. Not satisfied with what you have, but wanting more. And be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In this phrase, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, in the Greek, there are five negatives. The little word nor at the end is actually two negatives. And two negatives in the never at the beginning. So one, two, anyway, there's five. I forgot which one is which. Will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So this is the promise of God. So when we say, I am with you, He is saying, I am with you. Adam Clark talks about this verse. These words were in some spoken to Joshua, Joshua 1:5. There shall not, God says to Joshua, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. What a promise. These were also spoken by David to Solomon about the Lord. 1 Chronicles 28:20. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it. Nike didn't invent that phrase. And do it, fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, there's Jehovah Elohim, the covenant God who is all-powerful. Even my God, David says, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. He's talking specifically about building the temple. David had that in his heart, but God said, it'll be for your son. All right, these words then are like a safety net protecting you from falling into despair. Because you are human in a world corrupted by sin, you will always experience ups and downs in your life. It's just going to be happening. It's part of the system. God's promised presence limits how far you can go, how far down. Sometimes you may feel as if you are in a free fall, that there's nothing to catch on to, that you're just falling to an endless bottom. And that's when people or things you had counted on let you down. Dave Tunis is leading us carefully through the stock market and all that. But here and there be some things look like it's pretty much in free fall. Then it begins to build back again. So I want you to think about this concept. Old Matthew Henry said, this promise contains the sum and substance of all the promises. I will never, no, never leave thee, nor ever forsake thee. There are no fewer than five negatives heaped together to confirm the promise. The true believer shall have the gracious presence of God with him in life, at death, and forever. And then a fellow even older than Matthew Henry, John Trapp, said, only we must put this and other promises in suit, meaning we are in pursuit of it, by praying them over. God loves to be bound by his own words, to be sued by his own bond. Using God's promises. We see this in Daniel when he says, you actually told Jeremiah that it would only last 70 years. And so he says, I bring that promise to you. See? So this is a promise we have. Yes, ma'am.
He also prayed toward Jerusalem.
Yeah, prayed toward Jerusalem. All right. Comments or questions? The idea that while everything else may forsake you, let you down, there is a promise from our God that he will never forsake you.